Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 113 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's Meat Carrick with ACG.
And we have a special guest joining us. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I knew we were going to fuck it up. It's all good. It's all good. Feel free to pimp your shit.
Well, I'm Lukey Poo. I have a channel on YouTube, youtube.com/Lukey Poo. I'm actually going to have Maddie on my channel, but he will have already been on my channel by the time you see this. So go over to the channel, see Talk Gaming. It's fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Looking forward to it. So as always, if you guys want to catch us on the go, we have our links to our mobile stuff in the description, along with all Luke's channel, Twitter. So be sure to follow him, subscribe to him, check out the Talk Gaming thing. I'll have that link there because, like I said, this will be – or like he said, rather, this will be going up after the Talk Gaming. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Patreon's down below as well as you want to support and potentially become a guest. And now – let's roll into our first topic. It's the weakest Steam sales. People are spending lots of money. I was in my Discord personally, and people were saying they dropped $200 this sale and so on. Was there any sales that really caught your eye this time around?
Go ahead, Luke.
Oh, well, as always, this is a very bad week for my wallet. The one thing I was just looking at, I think the game that I've saved the most money on was Nier Automata, or Nier Automata, whatever it is. 30% off. So it's like $42 right now, which is very, very good for what you're getting there.
Yes.
I haven't finished it, of course, but everyone says it's incredible, and I'm enjoying what I've got so far. I got Hollow Knight, which it's not as big of a discount, but that's an incredible game if you haven't had it. I highly recommend that one as well. Bully is also a great one. Yeah, that one's, I forget what the exact discount is, but that's a good portion off. The Witcher 3, which is a game I obsess over on my channel a lot, that's 50% off, $25, and you get all the DLC. So Yeah, no reason not to.
Yeah, wow, I didn't know that.
But those are the big ones I would recommend. Yeah.
Anything catch your eye, Carrick?
No, I actually don't follow Steam sales at all. And really? Nobody that I know who's a patron does, yeah, at all. I steer away from them. So,
is it because you have like patrons who think like Steam's that monopoly and all that stuff?
No, I couldn't honestly tell you why. Funny because
I didn't know if there was an underlying reason.
No, matter of fact, I was trying to think of a reason that I can remember, but for me personally, it's because I don't have the money to even buy something on, because I'm reviewing, so I'm buying those. So I don't, and then I think maybe just the patrons that I get don't gravitate towards that kind of thing.
Okay.
And if they do, they talk probably in the Discord when I'm not in there. But I know that there's amazing deals.
Oh, yeah.
But there was also a bunch of weirdness that happened with this one in particular. Like, did you guys see, I guess, 300,000 refund requests within 12 hours on Steam? And it was like 300,000, then 279,000 the next day, and then, which is probably expected, but I think the refunds thing is going to have to change a little bit, talking to developers who are like, dude, we can't guarantee, I mean, we have no clue when somebody's going to ask for a refund. It's sort of weird for developers
they're
right now.
They're kind of breaking the refund system. We've seen that before.
Yeah. I have no problem with the refund system. I'm just saying it was noticeable enough that multiple websites commented on how many people had requested right afterwards. So.
Well, I think the issue is that a lot of people, like, it was initially meant to be kind of padding and to make sure that if you bought a game that was absolute rubbish or was a scam and didn't have what it advertised, then you could be protected from that within 2 hours. But nowadays, at least a good portion of people I know are using it as basically a demo. So they download the game, play it for an hour and a half. It's not like totally their thing. And so they immediately refund it. And in the era of Steam sales, people are doing it, I'm sure, much more. Because why not, you know?
Yeah, because you can get like 5 games for 13 or $15.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the Steam sale. One thing that I've seen recommended a lot was Mountain Blade Warband. That's a game I've personally never played, but I've heard it's
fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah. It had like 40,000 reviews, overwhelmingly positive, I think it was. Like, that's one I got to get around to, but I think that was dirt cheap. I want to say either it was $2 or $8. I can't personally remember. I made a whole video recommending a bunch of games, but I went back in there. I saw Hollow Knight. Is that what it was called?
Yep.
That looked interesting. I was considering picking
so
that one
good.
up. Yeah, just my thing with Steam sales is because I made a mistake during the first Steam sale and in the second Steam sale, actually, that I personally experienced and piled up on games and eventually never played most of them.
Yeah.
And I hate that feeling. When I play a game or when I buy a game, I like to beat it. That's just how I am now. And so Steam sales, I will buy like one, two games. The one game I did buy this Steam sale so far is Black Desert Online. It looks really good. And I wanted to try a new MMO out. Not that I play ESO a lot, but I'm starting to get a little burnt out on the experience it brings. And I thought Morrowind would be a little more rejuvenating, but it turned out to be the opposite. It kind of sucked some of the life out of me with that game. So I wanted to try something new, and I was watching a couple of reviews on it. I mean, the character customization looks insane in that game. I don't know if you guys have ever checked it out. It's got like a whole combo system. It looks really different from other MMOs, and a couple of friends picked it up. It was only $7, and I don't think there was a monthly subscription. At least I hope not. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to trying that one out. Other than that, what else stuck out to me? Spec Up the Line, that was dirt cheap as well. Basically, any game from like 2014 and below was like $5. Transistor was one that was $2, and I feel like if you haven't played that game, oh my god,
yeah,
do yourself a favor. That was, I love Supergiant Games. I can't wait for Pyre. I think that's next month from them, and they make just excellent games.
They do.
But yeah, that's about all I can personally suggest from the Steam sale. Any last suggestions? Nope. Nada. All right. Okay.
Nada.
All right. That's
fine
then.
Piece.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a quick segment anyway. So moving on to something a little more with substance, let's talk about that SNES Classic. They did an NES Classic last year. Now we got the Super Nintendo. What are our thoughts on this? I see the eyes bulging out of Carrick's head.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it.
Oh.
I hate everything about Nintendo's nostalgia bullshit. Closed off system for a certain amount of money with shit ass, you know, 1-inch controller wires, no power plug. It's a fucking ripoff. And I hate almost everything that Nintendo's doing. You know what? Make me want the Switch. Put that shit on the Switch. Make me have the current systems and be happy about those. Don't fucking sell me a box that is closed off. And they're going to do the GameCube Classic. They're going to do the N64 Classic. And I'm so fucking tired of Nintendo right now. Because they have systems that are out, 3DS and fucking Switch. Guess what? Support them with your old IPs. And I fucking hate everything about both of those systems. I don't like it. It has nothing to do with Nintendo. If Sega did it, I would rally against that. Sega needs to put their shit on Steam and allow people to buy it on Steam. If TurboGrafx-16 NEC came by and said, we're going to do Bonk's Adventure and 15 other games on a NEC Classic, I would be pissed about that. I don't like the sale of nostalgia to gamers. I don't like it.
It's easy to buy into.
It is, and it, yeah. I find it to be ultimately a little bit of a ripoff for people. I mean, who wants to turn on their fucking TV and walk over to their 9-game classic consoles and go, which one's on? Fuck you, which one's on? The one that matters, the Switch. Put your shit on the Switch.
So $80 available September 29th this year.
Yeah.
That's a little bit. Wasn't it $60
higher
for
than
the
I
NES?
Thought.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a little higher than I thought. I thought it was gonna be $60.
It has two controllers though.
That that is a good
which
point.
Apparently, is a selling point.
Yeah, my thing is, what about? We'll take for example people like myself. There's a couple games on there that I haven't played. It's coming out with Star Fox 2, which was never ever released. I think
yeah,
that was a
no
canceled
one's
game.
Played.
That's interesting because, you know, that's like a selling point. You don't know if it's going to be good or bad. But I haven't played Final Fantasy 3 in years, although I'm really looking forward to that. Secret of Mana, Earthbound, I've never played. I've heard really good things. So what do you think, both of you, I'm curious, about like people such as myself? You see a good handful of games that are highly spoken of. Would you be in support of the system more if there were a lot of gamers like me? Yeah.
Go ahead, Luke.
I don't know. Just I kind of agree. I don't understand just the entire idea behind selling nostalgia as its own dedicated tiny box. I get it. It's cute. It's something you can put in a stocking or something, and maybe that's interesting or fun.
An $80 stocking, man.
Right. Yeah, who's getting that?
I get, like, candy in mine and shit.
That's no shit. You got who? Where, Luke? Is your family aristocratic or something? Where's your $80 fucking stocking, brother?
I knew a girl in high school who did not believe me when I said that some people live off of. We were talking about something in our senior thesis debate thing, and I said some people have to live off of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. She's like, "You can't. Like, you can't live off of $50,000 a year." Like, and argued for probably a good half hour because she didn't think somebody could live off of that. That's how spoiled she was. But I don't get $80 stocking stuffers, but I don't understand it, especially because it is holding the Switch back. As you said, this is the entire reason we haven't gotten any of those games on the Switch. There's no reason that at launch they couldn't have just put on all of these games, all these legacy titles, you know, an entire collection of Zelda from all the past consoles. They could all be on the Switch, charge $80 for it instead of this thing. I would be like, okay, I can try these out now. But the idea that I need to go and race to the store to get an $80 little gimmick, you know, Nintendo's the company of gimmicks, whether you're talking about the Wii or the Switch, that's all they do. It troubles me. troubles me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you think this was the cause of such a big delay for the Virtual Console? Because that was my first thought. I was like, is this why we were waiting for it? And then they announced the SNES Classic. It's like, the timing's too good.
You're not getting the Virtual Console for, I'd say, probably mid-2018. Maybe at E3 next year they'll show it off. But like Carrick said, they're going to be coming out with every console that they've ever done before. They're going to be re-releasing it. They'll come out with like a mini GameCube that looks like the Ouya.
Virtual Boy Console Classic, man. If that happens, oh, man.
It's going to be insane. But apparently, I forget what journalist it was. It might have been Schreier, but he said that the person that was saying that, you know, the SNES Classic was going to be coming was the same leaker that told him that they were working on GameCube ports directly for the Switch, probably also in 2018 as well. But who knows? But the point being, this should have been there at launch. This should have been there at E3. The fact that they have like maybe two games that they're showing off for the Switch for an entire year is a little frustrating. And I think this only aggravates people more.
Yeah,
me included.
My thing is, if they are, I wouldn't say I'm willing to give them a pass per se, but I am willing to look over it a little bit more if they do support the Switch with those GameCube games. I think that would be cool. Because the GameCube Classic, I don't think it's been long enough to deem that as a classic, so to say. I mean, it's been a little bit over a decade, I'd say. But it's not like the NES and the SNES, which were like kind of the birth of console gaming.
Legends.
You know, exactly, legendary stuff. You know, the rise of Nintendo, where companies were coming in and competing, but they were just putting them out. So that's why I don't scoff too much at the Classic. I also know it's an easy way to make money. It's so easy. You know, we could sit here and bitch all we want. Tons of people are going to buy it because it's a collector's item. Some people are going to buy it just to put on their shelf and say they have it, which sucks because that doesn't do much for the industry. I considered buying it. Then I just saw that $80 price tag. A little bit higher than I thought. I was like, okay, I'm not spending $80 on 20 dusty old games.
I would have trouble spending 15. Like,
true.
But I'm not exactly the target customer. So, I know some people are super pumped about it and cannot wait and are checking, refreshing Best Buy or wherever it's sold, Amazon, every 5 minutes trying to see if one comes into stock. I have no desire like that. So I guess I'm missing something, or maybe I just don't have that nostalgia that would sell it. But to me, it's just annoying. Because especially people that aren't in Europe and Japan, Nintendo's never been a great company in terms of how they treat their North American customers. I was talking to a guy that worked at GameStop, and all of the Switch shortages, all of the Joy-Con shortages, all of the Pro Controller shortages everywhere. I had to look around for my Switch for probably a good 4 weeks, constantly calling people trying to find one so I could talk about the games. He said that those shortages don't really happen in Japan or certain parts of Europe. For whatever reason, their biggest market being North America, they don't see it as their biggest market. And I understand they're a Japanese company and they can show preference, but so much of what Nintendo does, I have to think maybe it's like a cultural difference with the copyright stuff, or maybe I'm missing something, but so much of what they do is a little baffling, and they're frustrating.
Yeah. Were there any games from the classic that you thought were missing? Because mine was ActRaiser. I didn't see that there, and Turtles in Time as well. And I was kind of like, Chrono Trigger.
Yes, Chrono Trigger. That was the one that I thought was strangely absent.
Yeah, and I'd imagine, kind of off of what you were saying, it would have to deal with maybe licensing, something along those lines. Because those are three definitive titles. I think the Ninja Turtle one, that's my own preference, so we can just toss that out of the mix. But like Chrono Trigger, ActRaiser, those are games with huge followings. ActRaiser was a real defining RPG that shined some light on what they can really do for gaming. And so I was shocked to see those weren't there, and that kind of put a little distaste in my mouth. I'm looking forward to it personally. I definitely want to see a price dip, especially when you look at like, I think it was on the 360. I'm not sure if it was on the PS3 as well, but they had that Sega Genesis collection, and you bought it. It was like, I think, $30-$40 tops, and it came with a ton of Sega Genesis games. You know, like something priced like that, that's fair. You know, I don't think that's too ridiculous. Yeah, it's selling nostalgia, but, you know, when you're just kind of porting games to a tiny little console, I don't think that justifies $80, personally.
Just doesn't. I'd agree.
And did they update the like the input? Do you still have to use like the?
It's red? HDMI now.
Oh, it's
yeah.
HDMI. All right, that makes a little bit of a difference. Because if it was like the yellow, yeah, red, white, I was gonna say I don't even think my TV. I don't want to sound privileged, but I don't think my TV supports that. So it's like, you know, everything's HDMI now. So I don't even know if the SNES Classic would have worked on there. Any closing thoughts on that one though?
It's not for me. I'm sure it's already sold out where it's gone on sale. I can't remember which area it's gone on sale, but expect lots of artificial scarcity, publicity for Nintendo to get people hyped about the Virtual Console, which will eventually come to the Switch. I disagree with it. I think it's stupid, but some people will love it.
You got to wonder if it's sold out because of intentional shortage or if people really like it.
No, you don't.
No,
this is, I mean, if we wonder that, then Nintendo has no right to exist as a company if they can't figure out their own sales numbers. This is a company that said that they were surprised by the shortage of that original one. That's, I mean, even people who run a fucking lemonade stand understand how to figure out shortages and who wants something. Nintendo, one of the things they love to do, and they've always loved to do, is treat people fairly poorly. When it comes to their overall intelligence, you know, they'll say something, whatever it be, IP infringement or whatever, the shit that they say just makes no sense and they sort of walk away. They're like that friend that bullshits and you let them do it because you sort of wonder if they remember it as bullshit. Like they're talking, they're like, remember that time? That didn't happen, but I don't really want to call you a liar because I think you might believe it. Nintendo believes their own bullshit. They're the ones who shit in a toilet. They smell it and think it, and they'll tell you it smells like roses and walk out. And I'm done with them. As a company,
so
I'm completely done with their nostalgia bullshit. And I'm done with them pretending that they didn't know that people wanted their system. I'm done with it. And it's all a ploy. And everything they do now seems like a ploy. And they release a really good system in the Switch for a lot of people. And I'm not even saying my own opinion. I'm saying a lot of people really like the Switch. And they don't support that with this kind of stuff. They put a game that's never been released on a system that's called a classic. Now, if you think of logic, the system would have games that have been released on it. Why is that game on there?
Selling
to make
point.
You buy the classic.
Yep.
It is a, and anybody who understands business is laughing about this and going, they're, I mean, in a way, they're very intelligent, but yep. They do so at what I feel is the continual burning of customers. And at some point, there's, I mean, we're not the only ones who are going like, what the fuck? It's, and it's a groundswell. It's starting to happen more and more and more. And I don't want to see Nintendo in that area. It's not because I hate them. It's because I like them. I don't want to see them in that area.
Would you say at this point, Nintendo is just as bad for the industry as a company like EA, or is it better in certain ways? Because I agree that it's really, it's not.
I don't think any of them are bad. I don't think any of them are bad. I don't even think EA is bad. I just think that their choices cause it. Well, you could say that they're bad in the way that, yeah, they cause a groundswell of like bad impressions, and that could be, and that can be weird, where customers don't want to buy their title until like they're on sale, or they want to wait. You get that a lot of times. If you guys have noticed, if you follow forums or if you have people in Discord, they're like, I like this company, but I'm going to wait because they did this and this. EA, it happens a lot of times where somebody.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's me.
Yeah. So I don't think any company is technically bad for the industry, because every company has released good games at some point, except for Derek Smart. And
oh my God.
I think, yeah, knowing my luck, he'll come on Twitter now and tell me that I had to get a bank loan. so I think when it comes down to it, I don't want him to do it, because I don't like. Cynicism is great when there's a reason. Yeah. And when there is an artificial, but it's a reaction, but there's an artificial worry from gamers, that causes a huge problem. It's just like shorting stocks. I mean, because I used to do the stock market, and shorting stocks, when you hear somebody shorting stocks, then you think about shorting stocks because somebody's shorting fucking stocks. Like, it all builds up on top of each other. So that worries me.
Yeah, see, I stand in the league. I really like my Switch, I have to admit. I fucking love it. Just the other night, I went up to a friend's house. My friend brought his Switch. I brought mine, hooked it up to a TV. Group of people came over, played ARMS, played Mario Kart, just like 7 hours straight of just gaming. And I don't remember the last time outside of a Nintendo console that like we all huddled around the screen and played all these party games and stuff. So I gotta say, I love my Switch because it's bringing out a piece of gaming I basically forgot of, which is couch co-op. I've been so into online co-op, so into the multiplayer, getting immersed in a single-player game just kind of by yourself always, that I forgot growing up, you know, that's really what you always did, was you played with someone next to you. And when I started doing that again, thanks to the games supported on the Switch that really have that focus of getting out, getting together with your friends, where, I could go out to lunch, pop up my Switch, and fight someone in arms if I really wanted to. I wouldn't do that. But point being is that it's bringing out that aspect of gaming. So I don't know if Nintendo is in thanks to that specifically, but I feel like their games are more tailored towards that competitive couch co-op fun. So that's why I've been really liking my Switch, where I understand where you guys are coming from, not being a huge fan of Nintendo. Totally makes sense. It's just, in my perspective, that's what I...
No. I'm not saying I don't like the Switch. I was trying to speak.
Or you were going to sell it.
Well, I am going to sell it, but that's I don't hate it. Just because it doesn't work for me. I mean, yeah. I don't hate Magnum condoms, as I said in the Discord, just because I can't wear one. So I don't. That Discord ended up exploding when I posted that. Yeah, I like,
because no one expected it. We were just talking about games, and this dude comes
out. Okay,
you gotta always remember that's where I'm gonna come from.
Yeah,
something weird. So, what I'm saying is, those are great, but I'm gonna tell you right now, Matt. If you went over to somebody's house and you said, "Let's play ARMS," and people are playing ARMS, and you said this, "Let me fucking run home and grab my SNES Classic so we can play Star Fox, and let me get another HDMI plug-in at your house and hook everything back up." Or would you say, "Hey, let's turn Star Fox 2 on the Switch?"
Yeah. Obviously,
which one are they going to want to fucking do?
Option 2. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the new system everybody has. And your friend who brought their Switch over could say, "Hey, guess what? I have Star Fox 2 on my Switch as well." But instead, you're both going to be like, "Hey, let's get our fucking Classic and bring it over." What the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? So I do like the Switch. I want it to succeed. I want me to want it.
Absolutely.
How about that? Let's shut my fat ass up. I want me to want it. And right now they're doing, no, I'm telling myself. I'm saying a better point is I want me to want it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making me want other fucking plastic phones.
Just go to E3 and every gaming convention with a shirt that says, "Make me want the Switch."
Yeah.
I want me to want it.
I want me to want it. I want you to want me. And they haven't done so. And this would have been a one more way for me to want the Switch, but it's not there.
I do have to say, I want them to try more new IP at some point in time. I think for me personally, one of the games I'm most anticipating this fall, Super Mario Odyssey, but you got to also consider it's Mario. But I mean, there's some design elements in there. Like when I saw Mario like jump into the wall and then it turned into like the traditional Game Boy Color Mario game, that like Paper the side Mario scrolling thing. Yeah, I was like, what? You know, it was all seamless, the way the level connected, it was just genius game design in my opinion. So it's like, yeah, it's Mario again, but it's a really good looking game. So that's where I kind of stand on Nintendo. Like the Switch, want more IP, and I agree
with
me
too.
Mostly what you guys say.
Well, I think also Nintendo, and I'll finish with this. I think Nintendo, at this point, they view it as an attempt to win back customers, because they view the Wii U as the time, like, the Wii was when they got all the families, all the toddlers were playing, you know, Wii bowling and having a great time. But those hardcore Nintendo fans didn't have a lot to play on there. And then the Wii U came and everybody jumped ship and went to other consoles. And now they're trying to make up for, in their eyes, a decade of lost time, trying to win back all of those customers. And they're trying to do it through nostalgia. That doesn't really explain, though, the fact that they're not bringing them to the Switch.
There's no
real rational reason why they wouldn't do it. It's like, I can't explain it.
It's got to boil down to business. They just want the classic to sell, don't put it on the Switch.
And they view their customers as cheap enough that they can sell it on a little piece of plastic and then also come out with a virtual console and do it all over again a year later.
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, it was limited. Not many of you guys got it.
Yeah, we'll buy it again on that platform now.
Skyrim is a good example of the digital version of that. So.
Yeah, and they do it because they can, because they will sell out of these consoles. They will sell millions of copies of virtual console, however they choose to implement it. They'll do what they can get away with. And BioWare did the same thing with Andromeda. They did what they thought they could get away with. Turns out they couldn't, and they faced the music for it. And that's what
I was talking about, dude, is that exactly what you just said. That's what I'm worried about. I don't want people talking about Nintendo like they do about fucking BioWare. Mm-hmm. BioWare is like my heart and soul RPG company.
Yep.
I mean,
I agree.
So watching how people talk about them now, you should see the comments in my video today.
Oh, dude, yeah. God. Back in the day when I'd be like, there's going to be a Jade Empire 2, we were all excited. We were like, man, this is going to be great. And now if I say it, they'll be like, I hope it's made by somebody else. You're like,
yeah, they're
going
to screw
it up.
Somebody has fallen from grace pretty heavily. I want three competitors, huge competitors. I want them to be fighting tooth and nail for every dollar. So yeah, I agree completely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, probably won't stop happening anytime soon. They're a mafia. They bought Japan. Nintendo probably hasn't told anybody. They just own Japan. They move the island around like Lost. The fuckers have so much money. It's ridiculous. They just come up with shit. They're like, hey, I got an idea. What? Let's sell a system you can't put more games on because it'll just sell. Okay, that sounds good. And
it's a mini version of an electronic device released literally 2 decades ago.
Hey, I'm going to sell you a cell phone that only fucking calls 12 numbers. Oh, that sounds fucking awesome. And people bought it. I'm going to buy a car that only goes to 10 different places. Great. That sounds good because those 10 places mattered to me when I was 16 fucking years old. See, sorry. Here's the problem. I'm starting to get mad. I apologize to people. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but that frustrates.
They make it so easy.
They do.
They make it so easy.
I want them to be competitors. I want Sony and Microsoft to be so nervous, like crossplay and all those kind of things. I want it to matter. And I want third parties to look at Switch, and they're not right now. Sorry, Maddie. What's up?
He's dying. Well, do you think they're going to need a big humbling experience like an Andromeda?
They will, and I don't see how is it possible when they're the only company technically in the black, right? I mean, you look at Microsoft now.
They're the ones who get the free pass with nostalgia always.
Yeah, and they've got that nostalgia because even Maddie and I have talked about, like, I would love Legend of Cage, an old IP I played when I was, like, fucking 8 or something. There's old ancient games. But I don't – how would they have – like, they've had a humbling experience, which is the Wii U, right? Or that's pretty humbling.
That shit sold like 10 million in 4 years, I think.
But it, it, really did it do much.
It didn't,
right? Because they made money. See, that's the difference between, even though Sony supposedly pretty quickly started making money, the Xbox One wasn't for a while. Nintendo has made sure that every console makes money day one. And that's the difference between the two. So to humbling to them just means less cash to roll around like Scrooge McDuck, where Microsoft and Sony, it actually matters. There's an actual, you know, negative when they don't sell. So I don't know.
That's one of the reasons I really hope for more third party support to come in, because if you get like a From Software title, like a port of Dark Souls 2 or something on the Switch, then, you know, it not only opens the floodgates, but then you're not only beholden to the Nintendo first party developers, but you're also dealing with third party. I think they just got to open it up. But Hollow Knight, which I talked about earlier, that's also coming to the Switch, which I'm excited for. So and hopefully Donner. That's a symbol. Yeah.
Donner just came out a couple days ago.
Awesome. Good to hear then that it's getting that third party. Let's shift the focus from one bullshit act to the other. COD 4 Remaster Standalone. We all knew it was coming at some point. I'll admit I was a little surprised it took this long for the COD 4 Standalone to come out, but it is available now on PS4. It came out June 20th, and it's taking a month to come to Xbox One for a short window of timed exclusivity on the PS4. Oh, Activision. Oh.
Can I ask you a question, Maddie, before we start all this?
Yeah.
It's
$40.
Okay. Why does this bother you? And I'm not being an ass. I don't remember, because I don't follow COD that closely. So
it's not even
I don't
COD.
Remember.
It's not even okay. COD. Well, number one, I hate Activision, so I definitely have some bias. Okay. I'll say that.
We'll remove that. That.
Okay, we'll remove the bias. So number one, exclusivity in this circumstance, I think is really dumb.
I don't mean the exclusivity. I mean Call of Duty. You keep saying something about the disc. You expected it sooner. What is it about the disc that's about
I'm just saying I expected it sooner. I thought they were trying to get people to buy Infinite Warfare with the COD 4 remaster, because you had to pay an extra $20 on top of Infinite Warfare to get COD 4.
The digital version.
I don't know if it was... the digital version,
I see. Okay, I see what you're...
I'm saying now the standalone, you can buy it. You don't have to own Infinite Warfare.
You don't have to own Infinite Warfare.
And I
got you. Okay.
It was just going
to
be... Everyone waited on it because they were like, oh, they're eventually going to just go ahead and sell it alone. And it was months and months after launch. They never did. And now they're finally doing it.
All right.
First thing that bothers me is that when you look at it, when you break it down, you pay $80, you get Infinite Warfare, you get COD 4. So really, COD 4 Remaster is $20. They're selling it for $40 now. So they've doubled the price for a remaster, which is just, I'm not surprised, because they were selling the DLC map pack remastered for $15, which was technically $5 short of what they were selling it for when it was coupled in with Infinite Warfare. So it doesn't shock me that they have overpriced yet another product. with that said, it kind of stops there. It's just their pricing's abysmal. I can't stand it. It's kind of carrying into what we're going to sound like we're repeating ourselves a little bit, at least in my case, with what we were saying about Nintendo, is that it's nostalgia butchering, clearly, as clear as day. Sure. So that's kind of, like I said, I don't want to repeat exactly what we said, but that's exactly how I feel about this product move. Except this product came out in, 2007? 6? I don't remember when COD 4 came out.
Can I ask a question? This disc version, does it contain... For the 40, does it contain any DLC maps or?
Let me check. Feel free to keep talking.
DLC maps specific. I know it has 12 multiplayer maps.
So it's a remastered. Graphics better, obviously. AI improved. Well, having AI at all would be an improvement. that was artificial for artificial intelligence. Let me tell you. If you look at it, then what would you? I have a question. Then, what would be fair to you, Maddie? $10?
I'd say leave it at 20. If you were technically selling it for 20 when it was
packed
with
in.
The Infinite Warfare, why not just release it for 20? I wouldn't really. I honestly wouldn't mind this as much. Like we were talking about with the SNES Classic, $80, sure. A little ludicrous. You guys were talking about, like, 2015, like, you'd struggle to do that. But at least $20, it's acceptable. Okay, it's a remaster.
Makes sense.
It's an old game. That's what you were kind of originally selling it for. To me, it seems like they looked at their bottom lines, maybe, and they were like, okay, how can we maximize profit here? $40. Nostalgia. Let's do it. Let me go ahead and find out what this comes out with.
Luke, do you play, while he's looking, do you play the Call of Duty games?
I used to, again, like, my first Call of Duty game was Call of Duty 3 on the 360. And it was fun. Like, for me, I didn't grow up playing a lot of video games. Little backstory. I played up playing chess competitively. So I was the nerd that was going to chess tournaments.
So was like, I, brother.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I was in chess club until I was a senior.
I led my chess team. We went to nationals, fifth in the nation. It was fun.
Good for you, man. I don't mean to interrupt. Just, I want to toss this out there.
No, we're talking about chess. Let's talk about openings. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
It does not include the $15 variety mat pack that came out in March. So
does not.
It is the $40 game does not include any of the DLC. It is the campaign, 16 maps from the base launch.
That is ludicrous. So about chess openings. Anyway, I'm just joking. So you go ahead with your story. You didn't grow up playing.
Yeah, no, I didn't grow up playing a lot of video games. But like my first console was a PlayStation 2, and we played like the original Red Faction, which to this day I love that game. Freedom Fighters was another one I remember, which was super cool. And so like that was my main experience. But one day we went over to my uncle's house and we played Call of Duty 3 on the 360, and it blew my mind compared to what I had been playing. And so after that, I tried playing it. But after playing probably two or three CODs, they got to the point where they just, it became incredibly repetitive to me. I know that's going to tick some people off to say, but to me, they don't offer enough variety to really pull me in. So I remember four, I had a good time. Me and my brother played it. We both enjoyed it, but it's not a game I would, I have or hold in such high esteem that I would spend $40 on a remaster.
Makes sense.
What do you think about it, Carrick?
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to get that for myself, get the numbers straight about what it included, because sometimes something hidden, you'll look at it and go, oh, okay, that actually sort of makes sense. But nothing about that makes sense. $20 would have probably, actually 15 would have probably been good. Activision doesn't throw bones for the most part to gamers.
Nope.
That I've known. And I'm okay with that as long as they are also fair, which here they're certainly not, and in other places they're not. So I think it's ludicrous. I think $20 would have made sense, or 40 plus all the map packs plus some, yeah, it probably 40 just doesn't make sense actually 40,
yeah,
at 40 all.
40 doesn't make sense, but it, what shocks me is that they're going to try to sell the map pack separately for the game afterwards.
The
so they're
sort of,
like I said, they're
off.
Trying to hit that $60 point, because I know that COD 4 also has those supply drops now. So it's that microtransaction shit inside there. I think it gets you like new camos and stuff. So that's another way to just keep.
I have a question for you guys.
Money.
Let's say you're young. Let's go back to when you're 12 or 13, or when Luke first started playing games. So which, how old were you, Luke, when you first started playing?
PS2. I was probably nine when I started playing.
Let's say we're all 12 or 13, and we're fucking playing with our Transformers in a sandbox somewhere, and I say to you that in the future, buying fucking skins would be a multi-billion dollar industry. Would you ever agree with me and believe that shit? Like, dude,
you're talking
Forza,
about the kid that
Forza,
like a little bit
go,
younger.
CSGO. I mean, it's fucking crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I wouldn't believe you just because solely based on the fact that I remember when I was younger playing the first Battlefront 1, like I'd be shooting dudes and it'd say like, you killed, and it would come up with like a little fake gamer tag. And my friend was like, oh, are you fighting kids online? I'm like, yeah, they're online. I was playing single player by myself. And like, I totally believed I was fighting kids online. So like, yeah, I probably wouldn't have believed you for a second, because I'm like, oh, well, like, how could you even do that in the first place? Games were
a lot more
innocent
skins.
Back then, for sure.
I mean, like, just the idea that somebody's Homer Simpson skin for Forza or whatever, like, it just makes you sit back and go, fuck. Now, I have no problem, because they're artists, when it comes to those people. But when it comes to, like, a company in microtransactions for like blue camo, and you know, camo that, let's be honest, none of us really probably would put on a fucking gun anyway. It's just, it's crazy I would never believe me if I came back from the future.
Even today, I can barely believe that. The majority of Call of Duty players, I'm sure, and CSGO players, the majority of them are just like guys or girls who are looking for a fun time where they can play with their friends. That's it. But there's a minority, I'd like to think, that are absolutely insane and will spend hundreds of dollars on skins, which is so insane to me as a gamer who will go and buy like another game for that same price. It's so foreign an idea to me to buy a skin. I cannot understand it. But clearly, a lot of people do.
Yeah, here's a good example. I can speak for myself. When I was around 13, I want to say, I don't remember when it was. Sometime during high school, I was playing FIFA 13. It was when I like first started getting into sports games. And I remember I tried Ultimate Team for the first time. And for those who don't know, Ultimate Team has like packs. They have the bronze, silver, gold packs. And in the gold packs, you can roll out these amazing players. And I remember spending at least $100 on, not flat at that point in time, but like over the course of time. Like I dropped $20 each month on new Ultimate Team packs. Always.
Does anybody else here feel, though, at least it does to me, it has changed. This is going to sound weird. Games now have changed my opinion of what bronze, silver, and gold actually mean in real life. Like they mean instead of third, second, and first place, I think rip off, and rip off more. Like it's weird that it's so odd that it's changed the actual. Like when he said silver, bronze, I was just all, oh my god, it's actually physically painful to hear those colors now. Mm-hmm. Because when I was younger, it was like that was the Olympics, that was first, second, third place, that those things were great. Now it's like energy in a mobile game, where if I see a fucking lightning bolt, I want to punch somebody in the balls. I do not want to fucking buy
straight
energy.
Straight shot.
Oh, dude, yeah. Yeah. Whenever a game says it's free, I know that it'll just have a lightning bolt. It'll be like, do you wish to pay so you can do more in the game? No, I don't.
Super ultimate energizer number one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the same way with skins, where it's just like, do you want to pay so you can have the mustard fucking paint job? And I'm like, no. Can you make me better? Will the bullets do more? That might matter. But the fact that some dude's going to see me sprint by at full speed, we're all on Adderall anyway. None of us being able to pay attention. Fucking ACD shaking, and I'm gotten tremors, and I shoot a dude. He's going to see me for a quarter of a second sprinting past him with my brand new Homer Simpson skin. Like, I don't give a fuck. But like you said, there's a group out there that are like, this is awesome.
What it might subconsciously do is alter expectations, where you hop into a game. Can't think of a game right now off the top of my head that has that like type of cosmetic customization, that armor customization, weapon customization, and it's not tied into a microtransaction. Suddenly it becomes that much more awesome because I don't have to pay for this. And it's not just the mechanic that's good, but it's the fact that I don't have to pay for said mechanic. So it does alter expectations too. And I think that is used by developers as a selling point. Like I said, I apologize. I cannot think of a game off the top of my head. All right, I'll go with Mario Kart 8. I don't think that was their plan, but in that game, there are not microtransactions, and as you just keep racing, you get coins, and those coins, you don't pick what you unlock, it just rolls a random unlock, you get like a new vehicle, new type of wheels, new glider, whatever, and that's it. It's just all flavor, really, but it looks a lot better in-game because I'm not paying a fucking dime for it.
Oh, no, I agree.
So, it's like, I thought that was awesome, but really when you break it down, it's more so because even one of my favorite games, man, Overwatch, like, I mean, I haven't played it in a while, but that game has started this thing where now we just see cosmetics, loot packs, supply drops in so many games. And it's fine, I guess, really. I kind of sit in the section of the DLC discussion where, you know, if it's cosmetic, go ahead, because it's not changing who's better at the game than me.
Yeah.
But it also brings up the discussion, I would rather it just be something I could unlock if I put the time in.
Do you know what I hate? I hate the games that I play where if I don't buy anything, I look like me. But if I buy shit, I look like Darkness from the movie Legend or something amazing. And I'll be no matter what customizations. Yeah, no matter what customizations I can do in the game, if I don't buy, it's like red, blue, yellow. And you're all, yeah, it's not very cool. But then like you'll look at the microtransaction and it's like, uber awesome dude number 7 with, and you're like, fuck man, I can either look totally bland and boring, or if I pay just a little money I can fucking look amazing. And I know there's a lot of people who are all, over on that other side.
I got a good customization idea or game with customization. Just I can't remember if it has microtransactions. Does Injustice 2 have them?
Yeah.
It does? All right, fuck it. Never mind then.
See, but Injustice 2...
Too fucking naive.
Injustice 2 has so... I haven't bought anything. Injustice 2 is one of the few games I said even in my review where I'm like, this is legitimately so stock full of equipment and stuff that it's just
it's
insane.
Insane.
But if I remember, you can buy stuff to get mother boxes if you want, but it doesn't improve the chances of getting it. And well, yeah. I guess if you bought a gold mother box versus a silver one.
I don't think you can buy like the diamond and stuff.
And you get so much shit. That game just is constantly like a fucking slot machine. Just dropping shit. So I never had to worry about it.
Hmm. Yeah, we got off track of that COD 4 remaster standalone. So bullshit, can we agree?
Yeah, bullshit. Yeah.
All right, cool then.
The month-long exclusivity. I get Sony has to get an exclusive, but 30 days? Like, what are we doing?
It just
at
literally
that
looks like they just kind of. It's like that day you open your wallet after payday. You're like, I got a good amount of money here. Like, I'm going to go take myself out to eat and just buy the most expensive fucking thing on the menu. Like, that's how I viewed Sony. It's like, hey, let's get it for a month here. Take some money, Activision.
Exactly.
They just toss the cash around.
Right. The point of an exclusive title is that you have an exclusive title, a title that you can't get anywhere else. But for 30 days. Like, who is going to be like, okay, I guess I got to go buy a PS4 now to play that remaster that I can play in a month? It makes no sense. A lot of this stuff nowadays in the gaming industry doesn't make much sense. I can't quantify it.
Anyway, let's move on to what games we're playing. We'll talk about something fun, something happy. So, what games have you guys been cranking out lately?
Mine aren't that happy. I've been doing Hollow Knight for one, which, as I said twice now, really, really good. Like, it's in the same sort of side scroller style Metroidvania, I think is what you would call it. But it has the atmosphere and feeling of a Soulsborne game. And I love that type of game. And it's something I initially thought I would hate, and I actually said to myself, you know, I got it on the Steam sale, save like $2 or something. Yeah, it's only like $9.50, I think, right now. But I said, if I don't like it, I'll just return it. But I played it for 3 hours straight after starting it up for the first time. It really phenomenal. Highly recommend you give it a chance if you like Soulsborne games or those that style of side scrolling game.
Bloodborne's probably in my like top 30 games of all time, so I'm not even
the fact that it's $20. Bloodborne is $20 and you can get it on sale for like $10. That I don't know if that's wonderful or an atrocity. Either way, it's there and you should play it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there's one game in the Soulsborne genre you're ever going to try, please make it Bloodborne. I know there are people out there who like Dark Souls, and I totally get why. My perspective, and I want to hear Luke's too, and Carrick's. My perspective is I like the more action-packed dodging. I like how you get your health back in Bloodborne. If you play on the attack and you get hit, you can get some of that health back. Where I feel like in Dark Souls, a little bit less in 3, but you kind of shield hug a lot. And I just didn't like that after the first game. Where Bloodborne was probably like the best game they've made since Dark Souls 1 with that like cohesive open world, a story that you can actually kind of follow, just rich of lore. Although I don't really, I've talked about this on the podcast before, I'm not a big fan of how they handle lore in their games, but I'm getting off track. I love Bloodborne. If there's one game you're going to try out of that entire genre that just crushes your soul, try Bloodborne.
So no, I would totally agree. Probably my second video that really blew up to like 500,000 views really suddenly was on Bloodborne. And nice. It was based off of some discussions I had on Bloodborne subreddit. Another YouTuber by the name of, I think, H-Bomber Guy did a similar video. But his was like an hour and a half long, all on the same subreddits. But essentially the idea was that if you're coming at the Soulsborne series for the first time, people tend to approach a game that's seen as difficult. This is, you know, Prepare to Die is the subtitle. You got to go in, you got to just pound it out. You got to try your hardest, be super aggressive and fight like a warrior or whatever. But in reality, what a lot of people end up doing is playing very reserved. They think this is going to be hard, so I need to dance around rolling and doing all sorts of stuff other than attacking. Because this is going to be hard. And what that leads to is a very unfun experience. And Bloodborne says, you're going to try that? No. No shields. We're going to give you a gun in your left hand instead. And they put in the rally system where if you take damage, you can get it back by inflicting damage on other people. Brilliant. I think Bloodborne has probably... there's some others that are close up there, but Bloodborne, in my opinion, has probably the best combat system of any game ever made. Like, it's that friggin' good. The only thing that's frustrating about it is dipping frame rates that are still pretty common. The load times are improved since launch and other things. But if you have a PS4 Pro, that's a game you absolutely have to play. Really, just phenomenal.
Carrick, where do you stand on Bloodborne?
Are we jumping from what he was playing?
We're still talking about what we're playing.
Okay.
We were talking about Hollow Knight got into Bloodborne.
I do want to say that I find it funny. I was laughing inside that he described Hollow Knight with two different genre mixes, Metroidvania and Soulsborne, and that sort of depressed me because I was like, what was our vocabulary prior to those two games? I'd say Hollow Knight was a platformer, side scroll, whatever, and people be like, okay. But now pretty soon it's going to be all Space Harrier-esque, RPG, FPS. It's crazy how we explain things. Bloodborne, I hate micro-stutter. I think it's terrible in that game. FPS is an issue, but the micro-stutter bothers me even more. And I thought it was okay. I'm more of a Japanese mythology fan, so Neo was more my style.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, Neo was
also great. Also
yeah,
great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's more of a, once you get games, you have three, you have four, technically. You have Asian-inspired mythos, you have the European-inspired Dark Souls, and then you have the Gothic-inspired, which is Bloodborne, and now you have the futuristic, which is
Lovecraftian,
And each one offers something different, even though I wasn't as big of a fan of Surge as I was. But Neo is probably, to me, more my style. I like the old style martial arts weapons and stuff.
Yeah, it was satisfying. I thought Bloodborne did,
and I think Bloodborne is fine. It's just Neo. You know how it is, where it's like sometimes a fiction, like if we talk about futuristic games, some people like Mass Effect, some people like a cyber style game, something a little bit more dark and gritty. Mm-hmm. It's just Neo hit me a little bit.
For me, if they did a Neo but with ancient Egyptian like mythology. Take all my money right now. But for me, like, the Japanese stuff never really connected with me, but the Victorian Lovecraftian worked with me. So it's different tastes.
There's a rumor that the developers of Bloodborne were going to make a game that instead of giving you melee weapons, it was going to be like hand-to-hand combos. And I forgot said it was set, but I don't know why. When you said Egypt, that rang a bell. I can't guarantee if that's what it was. But
it was
when
like
I heard
Mesopotamian
that rumor,
or something.
Maybe, yeah. It's got to be something along those lines. Where when I heard that, it reminded me. But that rumor, I'm like, please be true. That would be so awesome for me. Because you were mentioning Bloodborne being one of the best combat systems. It made me think what would be my favorite. The first one that always comes to mind, I mean, I'd have to go through a lot of games and see if I can remember. But the best combo/combat system I think of all the time is DMC Devil May Cry. Right off the bat, man. That game... I fucking love its combat. You know, you have the one chain that pulls you in, the one chain that pulls them in, different weapons, different weaknesses, so many combos, the ranking system they have making you, like, really push it to the limit. I love the combat in that game. First one that always comes to mind. But is there anything else you're playing, Luke?
I am going through my... it's 9th or 10th run of The Last of Us for a critique I'll be doing, hopefully out sometime in the next 7 days. But that's also like on the other side of the coin, you have like the combat heavy games and then you have the narrative heavy games that Naughty Dog throws out. And luckily, I enjoy them both. And The Last of Us, again, if you have a PS4 or a PS3, absolutely worth playing. Some people will not connect at all with it, but if it hooks you, you're in for the ride of your life. It's really great. And it's, of course, people have praised it to the ends of time, and there's not much you can say about it that hasn't already been said. But yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Cool. Carrick, what have you been playing?
Micro Machines for a review. But it was one of those games where they give you the goddamn game and then half the shit's turned off because they haven't turned the servers on. So there was like three modes for a single player. All of them sort of resulted in practice mode, which was sort of boring. And it barely offers anything compared to the prior game. It's one of the things that always bothers me. You get a sequel to a game and like the DLC and everything from the prior game isn't in the new game. So you get a new game, it always feels bare bones compared to like its predecessor.
That's the worst
and
feeling.
Dude,
we were talking
terrible.
About that with Battlefront 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. And Civilization does it a lot of times. Those kind of games are really heavy into it. So it's pretty not impressive. And then I'm doing some review games, Blackfall. And one or two others. I'm actually, to be honest, other than Mad Max, because I'm doing a Walking the Walk game design video, I'm not really playing much. And Mad Max is really hard because for some reason Shadowplay doesn't love it. Yeah. And so I'm having a hard time capturing footage.
That was a good time for that break. It's summer, you know, it's not too many games coming out. You know, there was
Crash Insane. People want something
trilogy.
To watch, so.
But,
yeah.
That's about it.
Oh, Crash Insane, that's the other one I'm playing.
Did you like that? I know you...
I rated it a buy, but the problem with remasters when they're remade like this, because it's a remaster that's technically a remake, they move the physics forward, is that it introduces issues that didn't exist, problems that didn't exist in the original games, because it is not now, it looks the same, but it is technically not the same game. And it dawned on me that basically what you're playing is an Android constant running game. Through all of Crash. That really is what Crash is it's the preview of what we're getting on Android phones where your character constantly runs, you can't stop him, they're 99 cents. At least with Crash, it's better, and there's some really cool elements, and the price is right, $39.99 for three games.
Yeah.
Some great stuff, but it's prehistoric gameplay. Like, you have to know what you're getting into, because that shit is not Mario. I still remember, matter of fact, the brutally honest trailer even said, like, Crash gave you something to talk about for 2 months until Mario came along and no one could remember. And that is pretty much, it's archaic. Like, when you're playing it, it's one of those games that you're constantly hoping to do more, but you can't.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little nervous about, because I'm going to be reviewing it down the line as well, because I got a code for it, and I've never played Crash before, ever.
Just have to know that it is prehistoric.
Yeah. And that's why I thought, like, at first I wasn't going to review, but I was like, you know, I haven't played these. It might offer consumers a good opinion on, like, someone hopping in for the first time. So
for sure.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that. As for me, I have to embarrassingly admit what I've been playing. I don't know why I suggested this topic, because the game I've been playing is a complete fucking meme. All right. Let's start out by the fact that I trusted my friends, and I think they pranked me. Because they were like, they've never really pranked me, so I was like, all right, I'll believe you guys. Because at first I was like, you're kidding, right?
Battlefield Hardline?
Nope.
Far Cry Primal?
Nope.
I'm just joking.
No, you're so far off the mark that when I say it, I don't even... I might close my eyes so I don't have to see your face.
Like Hello Kitty's Grand Adventure or something?
It's a little better than that. So, yeah, quick story. $15, they were like, look, just try it. It's actually good. You know, we really like it. Good characters, good story. I'm like... All right, fine. Like, even though it's on sale on Steam for $2, I'm going to play it quietly on my Vita so no one had to see it on my friends list. But my Vita connected to my Wi-Fi and people saw it anyway. So, anyway, it's called Hotiful Boyfriend. Anyone ever heard of this game?
I have.
What the fuck is this game? I can't believe I beat this shit. You play as a girl. It's a dating simulator, and you date pigeons. And... there are some endearing moments, I'll admit, but I don't sound it right now, but I'm very open-minded with games. The fact that I beat this, I think, is a testament to that. But even during it, I myself, I was shocked. I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, I took some pictures on my phone because I was so dumbfounded by some quotes. So allow me to read two for you guys. So we have number one. He puffs his chest out and swags his way out of the classroom like a real gangsta pigeon. And like, number two, this teacher asked me if I wanted to help him grade some papers because I came to school a day early, and I told him I wanted to go home instead. So instead of just saying that, my character says, "Forgive me, sir, but I need to go home. I must return to my people with the spoils of war, lay my bloody sword at the feet of my great king, and celebrate my conquest of all the lands from here to distant Macedonia." I'm just like, what the fuck? I mean, the point is it for it to kind of be like that, but it has so many serious moments that I have no idea what this game's trying to be. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm sold on that. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah, so I've played a little too much of that than I'd like to admit. Thank God it's a short game, so really in the scheme of things, it's been 7-8 hour adventure. But other than that, just ARMS and Mario Kart outside of that. I've been having a blast with those to really balance out the riveting gameplay that is Hot to Full Boyfriend.
It's an experience, Maddie. Yeah. That's how you have to approach it. It's an experience. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I like graphic novels. I played Zero Escape, Danganronpa. I've talked about a couple times on the podcast. And all
Corpse
this
Party.
I haven't played that one. So that's one I got to get around to. I've heard it's scary. So that's why I kind of bitched out.
It's messed up. It's messed up.
Yeah, that's why I kind of bitched out on it. But, you know, all it did for me was personally solidify my opinion that Danganronpa is like the top of the fucking totem pole on that genre of graphic novels. Just between the gameplay it offers, the stories, how it progresses, its story itself, how they do visual transformations in front of you to keep you, like, actually engaged with what you're looking at instead of just reading walls of text. So, yeah, that's also the reason I played it, but I'm not going to make excuses. I played a pigeon dating simulator. Next topic!
That's something to bring up on a first date.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be ready for the next date I'm on because I dated a couple of pigeons beforehand.
Yeah, I'm very experienced now.
Let's talk about some DLC next. We got Andromeda's DLC. We'll start off with the story is that there were reports coming out of Kotaku from some sources that there were 3 planned DLC for Mass Effect Andromeda. They were canceled. Then reports came out that EA had kiboshed that, saying, no, that's not true. And then Game Informer followed that up saying, no, there's no DLC happening. And what they're essentially doing, Game Informer, is putting a lot of their credibility on the line with that. So hopefully that story, for their sake, ends up being true. But Andromeda, no single-player DLC. Does this come as a surprise to anyone?
Not really. I mean, they bailed. What happened during the development and after, like, it's been long enough after release, even though it hasn't really been that long, that we've heard stories from inside of the development. And what it sounds like is they were working on it. They realized it wasn't going to be what they wanted it to be without delaying it for a year plus. So they said, okay, screw it. We'll put it out. Just finish it up. We'll move the rest of you over. We'll work on Anthem. It'll be great. We'll make that the game that Andromeda was supposed to be. And they gave up, you know, they walked away. So it doesn't surprise me. Even if it wasn't completely true and they were going to come out with a single player DLC, who is going to go and pay $20 for some sort of DLC story expansion, especially a story expansion for a game that had notoriously terrible writing and storytelling? Like,
at least if I'm looking at it from a Mass Effect fan's perspective, I'm saying, like, I'm not one. I'm looking at it as a kind of a Fallout 4 to Far Harbor situation, if anything. You know, a drastically different
experience. A redeeming factor.
Yeah, that might be, I'm thinking, why people are upset. But I think the other shitty part, really, is that it just shows that, like, they're, I'd say the best word is embarrassed. And they already said they're putting Mass Effect on ice. And it's like, you know, they had an ambitious idea. It turned into a pretty poor effort. And just because of that one failure, they're canning the franchise for a while. And they're going to wait. And they'll probably eventually reboot it or something along those lines. And that sucks. That's what's the most disheartening about this to me is, like, can the DLC, probably because they looked at the numbers for multiplayer, they probably see hardly anyone playing it, unlike Mass Effect 3, where that was alive for a while. It was probably really defeating for them. And so it kind of bums me out. Not like I was going to buy it or play it, but it's just like, shit. Just like no more Mass Effect for a while now.
Well, Andromeda, and it's a comparison I've heard a couple people make, but I think it makes sense. Andromeda and No Man's Sky were in many ways brothers. They were born out of the same idea that you would have a galaxy you could explore that was procedurally generated. And that was Andromeda's whole gimmick initially during the development, was that you're going to be able to go to all these planets that were all going to be different and ginormous, and it was going to be incredible. But whereas No Man's Sky went through and kept with the idea, and it created a really bland game that was really boring, Andromeda just said, nope, that's going to be bland and boring. It's not working. We'll scrap it and try to salvage what we can. But they had already wasted so much time and money that this is what you got. And so I don't blame them for the amount of money they spent on it, and with, I'm sure, the crap they received and the damage to their brand. I don't blame them for walking away.
Yeah, well, I do more damage to it, right?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. If they came out with a single-player DLC, it could legitimately make it worse, which I think they're honestly terrified of. They're like, that was the best we could do. Like, if we try to save it, they could end up doing more damage. Especially, you know, I guess get Anthem right. Get Anthem right, and maybe people will forgive you. But
I don't even trust Anthem.
Oh, it's not my type of game. I'm not really interested.
I'm going to try it because it's BioWare, but I just don't.
That trailer looked so scripted. And like, if the game looks anything like that at release, I'll be happy. But it's always funny when you hear the people going around, like the fake gamers. Yeah. I thought it was like some sort of narration over like a scripted.
That's what I
was like, oh, they're pretending to be players. Like, okay, we have to go to this checkpoint. Let's go.
Do you realize most people are like jumping around making dick jokes at this point in the game?
I just saw a video this morning. I don't know who made it. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's saw it too?
Yeah.
It was so great.
It's Anthem as if it was played by real
actual
players.
Gamers, yeah.
And the one guy enters and he's chewing and he's like, and they're like, who's chewing?
That's awesome. So true.
So to me, I personally think that Andromeda is basically Scalebound if they had released Scalebound. It's a game that halfway through somebody said, oh fuck, and Andromeda got released. Scalebound, luckily Microsoft was like, yeah, we're not releasing shit. Microsoft already failed with Halo, the Master Chief Edition. Talk about making the worst out of the best thing you possibly could. And EA did the same. If this was Sony or Microsoft, we'd be looking at a huge issue. Luckily it's EA, where it's one title.
People don't expect much.
Well, there's that, but I mean, remembering that outside of gaming, people expect a ton. We don't expect much, maybe because we're inside of the gaming, but luckily almost all my friends just buy games if they look good. They don't know anything about Electronic Arts at all. Right. They wouldn't even. So we sort of hold grudges in a way that no one else does. So you're looking at a problem where, like, it got released. They moved away from it. And to be honest, I don't think I'd trust them to do the single player as well. But I think that they've also left Mass Effect in a really weird place. And it's a weird enough place that it also affects even more people who do care about history watching EA. Thing is, though, it's the business.
What just hit me, and I won't spoil it for anyone who does want to try it out themselves. I'll just leave it at Mass Effect Andromeda ends with kind of like a cliffhanger in many ways.
Oh, no, it definitely does. Yeah. I thought it set up for a sequel myself.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt to me.
Because you don't know nowadays, in my opinion, like if they're setting up for just a DLC in a couple of months or if it's sequel bait. But yeah, like I saw that news and I was just like, wait, hold on.
I'll just say that
there supposed to be another Mass Effect.
Was
it going to be like a new trilogy?
A new trilogy in the Andromeda Galaxy. Yeah, that was the original plan.
I know somebody who worked on it, and the plan was for sure to have other guys at that time. No longer works there.
I was going to say,
yeah, it's sad. It's sad. It'll be one of those titles, just like No Man's Sky. This has been awesome for game development, because discussion can be had. Yeah, and people can look at these and go, okay, what exactly happened. I think the real problem is that the companies aren't open about it. Hello Games closed down, didn't tell anybody what they were doing for months on end, and they didn't communicate well. EA is having trouble communicating. I'd rather have these companies say, all right, so here's what happened, and really, I mean, not wait for Kotaku of all fucking places. I mean, I think I've gone there one time in like 6 years.
Give a site that has a rep for breaking rumors and shit.
Have the company come out and say, okay, this is where shit went wrong. Tell the developer, tell the lead.
CD Projekt, you know, Red kind of did that when they were blackmailed. They were just like, this is what's happening.
This is what's happening. Let the developers talk about it and let people learn from it, because they're talking about it anyway when they leave. I'll tell you that much. You know, you always sign NDAs, that kind of shit. You can't fuck that. That shit's ignored instantly the moment they go to an. And we see one company that got in trouble for that. Ark, the guy left his company, went to work for Ark, and he's getting in trouble for some of the stuff he helped them with from his prior company. That's because that happens all the fucking time. It's just he was stupid about it, and they learn. But I'd rather have them learn in the open. You know, have somebody go to fucking GDC and say, boom, we're doing an 8-hour discussion about what happened at Andromeda, and let people learn from it, understand what's going on.
Brings closure to everyone, I think. I mean, that's why I don't know why. Doing it in the shadows, it's dirty in a way.
It is. And it just, and this he said, she said, it's like, you broke up with her? No, she broke up with me. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe it. Who fucked who? I don't know. But let's be on 90210 tonight. Like, fuck you, man. This isn't, I mean, it's not teenager bullshit. It's just weird. It's like, and I wish they wouldn't have broke the story if it is true, because then you do have EA who might not be telling, you know, they might be paying some people out. See, a lot of people don't realize that a rumor, when it gets out, when somebody breaks a story like this, there might be people who don't know, you know, they're being employed at some point in the future. We're going to look at maybe downsizing, blah, 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 but we don't want them to not want to work. And then somebody breaks a rumor and they're like, oh, fuck, I better go look for another job. And they don't show up for work or whatever. You can impact businesses that way. I just wish EA would have just been open so that there wasn't news to report.
I mean, this report has to be true, because they were already saying how a lot of the Andromeda teams moved on to different projects.
95%.
It's got to be true then, because I don't think 5% of that staff is enough to work on DLC.
Unless they do like procedural generation quests. There's like one guy who just stands there.
There's a settlement that needs your help.
They use like Watson to do the voice from Microsoft. Literally, there you go. Like, no, there is a way. You need to go and get 10 raspberries. You're like, okay, 10 raspberries. Copy that.
10 out of 10 IGN.
Or like when you're playing Witcher 3 and they're like, you need to kill and get 10 livers from elks, and you kill elks and some of the elk don't drop livers, and you're like, how is this elk living? This happens in every MMO too. They'll be all, you need 10 dragon hearts, and you'll be
kill
200, you're like, what the fuck, were these other dragons, did they just, how the fuck were they working?
Everyone's on acid, that's it. They're all hallucinations.
So onto the other side of the DLC spectrum, Zelda's new DLC. Luke, you've had some time to play around with that. What are your impressions?
It unlocked at, I think, 10 p.m. my time. I'm in Colorado, so it unlocked at like 10 last night. I've put in probably 2 or 3 hours in the master mode. And what this DLC does is it tries to adds like a couple new outfits, Korok masks and stuff that rattle when you're near Korok seeds, as if they weren't easy enough to find already. It adds like one item in the game that you can plop down and it creates an instant fast travel spawn point, but you can only use it once. And then, of course, for me, the most interesting thing is the master mode. And I said interesting on purpose instead of the best, because, as I said, I've only put in like 2 or 3 hours. But as of right now, I'm wildly unimpressed. And as I'm sure many of you guys are aware, like, implementing a hard mode or a hardcore mode or a master mode or a survival mode in a game is not as simple as just increasing the health of certain of all enemies and making ammo scarcity way worse, and then making it so you have to sleep and do all this. There's a lot more that goes into it, and you have to have very strong systems that when that pressure is applied to them, they can stand up to it. Zelda has, or Breath of the Wild since launch has had terrible combat. It's just terrible. The flurry system or whatever it's called, where if you jump out of the way just in time, then you can flurry attack them. Yeah. The timings are all so unpredictable that it's not consistent at all. You can be standing 10 feet away from a sword that gets jabbed at you and it still implements it. So it's not even consistent within the game itself and within enemies. So that combat system is the weakest part of the game, probably, for me, next to the shrines being so hit or miss. But the master mode makes that the defining feature. It upscales every enemy by one class. So the red bokoblins, or however it's pronounced, become blue, and the blue become white, and the white become black, and all this. So in the starting plateau, there's a black Lynel walking in the field.
Oh,
and
God.
You still have all the same weapons. The difference is that they increase your initial carrying capacity for all the items, but you're still on the Great Plateau only finding sticks that put out 2 damage, a sword that does 5, a club that does 4 that breaks after 10 hits. So to fight one encampment of just at that point in the game, the basic, most basic bare bones of all enemies, it took me about half an hour of dancing around, trying to hit them, take their stuff, and bashing them. I went through probably 15 weapons, and all of them broke by the end of it, and I still had one guy left that I couldn't have killed because the weapons degraded so fast that you couldn't put out enough damage. Maybe I'm missing something, but what it's doing right now is it's just forcing me to run away from every character or from every enemy and encampment, which to me I don't think is the point of Breath of the Wild. I think you're supposed to be able to feel like you can go in there and fight, but instead it just makes you feel like you should avoid enemies at all costs. That's what I feel when I play Dark Souls, where I'm like, there's no way I can take that guy down. I'll run around him this time and I'll come back. Hmm. I don't think Zelda is supposed to feel that way. So right now I'm wildly not impressed. Probably once you get 20 hours in and you have a ton of armor that's upgraded and weapons that are all upgraded, it will be really interesting. You know, now enemies sit on little planes that have whatever those balloon things are, and they float through the sky, which is cool because you have to start looking up basically like helicopters. That's kind of cool, I guess. But as of right now, I don't get it. I think they missed the mark, or maybe they think too highly of their own combat system. But to me, it was borderline broken.
Seems
I like
they
that
need
the world has. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say it just sounds like another example of a game that tries to add like a survival mode or something along those lines, and they clearly need more mechanics to balance out the entire player side of things. Where like the enemies, sure, if you want to upscale their health, then give me more tools, more ways to take them down or do double damage, something along those lines. Where yeah, it's just it's almost frustrating upon arrival when you run out the door and there's something that takes, like you said, 15 weapons to take down. That's just really annoying. It's not like a Souls or a Bloodborne where you can, you know, you can take that person on. Like in the beginning of Dark Souls 3, you can take on that crystallized lizard off to the path to the right. Mm-hmm. It'll be hard, but you'll do enough damage to gradually whittle him down. But it's not like that tedious, fuck, another weapon broke, gotta go get another one. Okay, I took out like an eighth of his health
right.
bar.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're not. I was just going to say that's the difference to me personally.
And that made me think of something that I think is a really good point. The fundamental, like, important element of difficulty in a video game is that it has to feel at some point fair. It has to feel like it's, you know, that's the whole basic idea behind whether you're talking about Bloodborne, like use that as an example. When you take damage, it's because you screwed up. Now, sometimes there's instances where that's not true with frame stutters or a frame drop that made you miss something. But on the whole, the goal is to have it so every time you take damage, it's because you didn't time your roll right. It's because you didn't hit him here and stun him. It's because you did something wrong. But what it feels like in Zelda right now is that whenever you take damage, or not even taking damage, but you are not capable of outputting enough damage because all of the weapons break, and there's only so many weapons with such a level of damage output that you cannot physically take that any of these characters down, especially like a Black Lynel walking around in a field. There's no way at the beginning of the game you can take that down with sticks and basic clubs. You just can't. So it's like they're trying to get you to run away. Maybe they're trying to tell you to go and get the Master Sword, do the new Trial of Swords that they have in the DLC that makes it so I think at this point, after you get that, it doesn't have to recharge. I think it's just 30 output without breaking. I might be mistaken about that, but that's what I think it is. And if that's true, then I guess that's when the DLC would actually start. That's when the Master Mode would actually begin, because you have a weapon that's capable of working. But as of right now, this is
trying to get to in the first place, because getting the exactly. Master Sword isn't.
You have to have 13 hearts.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you need to get a good chunk of the game done before you can. Because you get a heart after every divine beast.
Four shrines. So,
weapons are made out of graham crackers, but nothing else is. Like that game's durability. The entire system is just so weird. I bounce off the fiction in that game all the time because it looks so stupid for me to run around with a sword that just falls apart after hitting people six times. I could fucking buy a wooden boken, which is a samurai training sword, and hit you thousands of times because I have. And the fucker doesn't break. It just, none of it makes sense. And then when you add in this mode, which is DLC, mind you, difficulty mode being DLC is already fucking weird. And you get it.
Hard mode later.
Yeah. And it doesn't jive with their, it doesn't actually jive with the basic system they tried to sell you on originally, which was graham cracker weapons. Mm-hmm. So if they can't match the two up originally, they're going to have a hard time. And, I mean, even people who loved it and called it a classic, if most of the time that was the one complaint about the game overall, you know, usually that was pretty much at some point somebody said, yeah, I lived with the durability of the weapon. Like, you know, they're all, it didn't bother me.
No defending it. I mean, for me, my comparison was like, it reminded me of an overdone version of like the beginning of Fallout 3 where you'd you'd constantly repair the hunting rifle or some shit
that. Yeah, the 22 rifle you were just constantly putting screws in.
Those types of games were in the beginning. You're recycling that same weapon over and over and over. You know, plenty of games do that, like a Diablo style game. You know, you're cycling out that like weapon, that small incremental upgrade. Those little things where, like, for me, Breath of the Wild in the beginning, at least I wasn't too pissed about the constantly breaking weapons. But there gets to that middle part of the game in Breath of the Wild where you're like, holy fuck, give me a break. And then you get to the late game and you got, like, 50 of each arrow, you got the Master Sword, you got everything you could ever ask for. So it's like that give and take kind of, but, like, it's absolutely frustrating. I don't see how, no matter what kind of fan you are of Zelda,
a little bit of. It reminds me of Gears of War when you would turn it on the hardest difficulty. Sometimes, because I actually didn't mind the AI in Gears of War. I talked to some of the AI developers, Halo. What?
Are we talking about Gears of War 4? Or just
any of the Gears of War, but I'm actually discussing one right now of all things. Because I was actually, at that time, enjoyed, and it's funny he mentioned chess, because there were times where, especially when I was talking to the developers, where they had sort of a chess idea, which is where you go from strength to strength to strength. So you can enter a battle in Gears of War heading north, and suddenly you're heading south because the guy flanked you, and you're like, oh, shit. But on the harder difficulties, you would just die sometimes and be all, really? Like, what? Yeah. Because shit was off. Like, the collision wasn't perfect. But on normal, it was okay. Those things are okay. And that's the thing about difficulty. If you can sell yourself on it, it's fine. If you can say, okay, it's not perfect, but then you're fine. But at some point in games like Zelda, especially with this kind of mode, it's hard to go, okay, I died, but instead you're just like, I died. Like, what the fuck? Like, I died. I mean, I just got killed from 10 feet away. How did this happen?
See, that's why I love Nier Automata. Because, the hardest difficulty in that game, the enemy can one-hit you. But you can add so many different chips to buff your character up to be even more powerful than that. Like, yeah, they can one-hit me, but I can make my character so strong I can three-hit a boss. So it's
exactly.
And it's not grindy. You know, so it's like, that's a game that I think does difficulty exponentially well, especially when it comes to modern games. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of games, and we see it all the time. Like Luke said in the beginning, just tons of fucking health for the enemy, and you get the same game.
Well, remember, I told you, I don't want to say too much, but I mean, when I talked about Forza, and on easy, the enemies purposely ditching in so you could win. And Microsoft, I mean, somebody contacted me. They were like, yeah, that does happen, but this is why, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm sorry, that doesn't sell it. Yeah, that was pretty much what it was. It was like, and they fixed it. Legitimately, they were like, okay, we see what you mean. Because it was weird, because I was telling people, I'm like, well, wait, why would you have them lose? Because if a seven-year-old or a young person is trying to play this game and learn it, do you just throw the race? That doesn't make any sense. You need to accurately have an easy and a medium and a hard difficulty. Difficulty in games is hard, though. You talk to anybody who handles AI, especially like racing, and they'll tell you, they'll be like, dude, it's not fun. I mean, it's insanely difficult to make sure the AI is not too hard, because the AI knows the game state at all times, so they could fucking kill you instantly if they wanted. It's making them dumb. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk to any AI person, and they will most likely tell you. We were talking to the guy who created the AI for Halo. He was like, it wasn't about fucking making them smarter than the player. It was about making them dumb enough so that they appeared slightly smarter than the player.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difficulty Zelda doesn't seem to have hit right, at least here.
Yeah. No, and as I said, whenever you try to do something like this, the systems themselves have to be strong enough that when you put that force down, they don't crumble. But the combat, as Carrick said and as Maddie said, it was already the weakest element of the game.
Absolutely. And sort of falls apart.
Yeah, no, it highlights an already terrible system. And
that's the best way of putting it.
I don't understand why. Again, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get most of this stuff that's going on. It's just, I don't know. But I'll probably give it a couple more hours and see if there's some big thing that I realize makes it make sense, or I'm missing some new parry system. But as of right now, it's just making me want to run away from every encounter, which I don't think is good for that game.
Reminds me of Neo, that fucking chick, that boss who could fly. And I remember getting to her. She's, I think, second boss. And I was like, what is happening? Yep. And then later I realized.
And when you run too far, she like shoots those darts out of her wings. You're like, fuck.
I was so confused. And only later at actually here in town, we talked to some people who actually worked on it. They were like, no, that's a plateau AI. They're supposed to, when you defeat that character, your skill is higher. But it was so hard that even I was like, what the fuck is going, you know, that where it game, almost did what Luke said, where it almost made me walk away.
That game
and go, something
did
wrong.
So well of making you realize, like, you're better. Because, like,
yeah, exactly.
What they do is they give you, like, a side quest and would have that boss repeat, which is, like, I'm not going to, you know, give them a free pass for constantly repeating some bosses for those side quests. But you go in, you'd be like, oh, God, this boss. I remember last time I took him on. But you recall all those patterns and stuff. It's the same thing, and you just destroy it. And you're like, wow, okay, I am much better at this game now. I remember
when your skill level is just tremendously better. It's insane and very cool and very hard to do, obviously, because a lot of games get it horribly wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. The last bit on our list, Dragon Age. The team is hiring lots of new people. We know a new Dragon Age game is coming at some point in time. Are we excited about this? You know, this probably should have tied into our BioWare discussion a little bit, but it's a good way to wrap up the show.
Dragon Age Andromeda. I can't wait.
Please no. Please no. So now here's the thing, is that people have been, the most common defense to my skepticism, not hate, skepticism of Anthem, and I think my skepticism is justified of BioWare after my skepticism of Andromeda was proven correctly, is that people will defend Anthem saying, well, this is BioWare's A-team working on Anthem now, Maddie. So who's the team working on Dragon Age is my question. That's what I want to know, because, you know, what's the defense then? Like, is this still a game we should trust? I thought...
Who's saying... That makes no sense. I mean, somebody who's an A-team for a FPS isn't an A-team on a third-person shooter, isn't an A-team on a fantasy game.
Because people
were
saying the BioWare studio who worked on Andromeda, that was the... What did they call it? I think they called it a C team, something along those lines. And people were like, well, that's why it was bad. And I'm like, no, it just went through development hell pretty badly. You know, so people have been defending Anthem with constantly saying, this is the BioWare team. This is like the ones who worked on Mass Effect 1 and 2 and 3. You know, this is the best version of BioWare, and they're working on this game. And I'm like, I get that. That definitely increases the chances, but... You know, I'm not trying to detract the conversation to Anthem. I'm just saying, what defense does Dragon Age have for us to believe in it when BioWare hasn't, in my opinion, put a good product out in
years. None, but they don't have any. I don't think they have I don't think there's a reason to attack them either. It's 50-50. It's the same fucking chance of failure and success any game has. Just because somebody's good on one team doesn't mean they'll be great on another. Rare isn't the same Rare that they were when they were making great games. They're making different games, and they might make a great game tomorrow.
See if these looks great.
Yeah, and I think Anthem is really fucking early to attack and super early to defend. Like, what would you attack or defend about Anthem? That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. They had to script in fake people. Like, the game isn't even ready to attack or defend yet. And Dragon Age, we know nothing about.
My counter to that is, don't show it if you're not ready for criticism.
But they have to. I'm not saying you can't do criticism, but it's just us talking. It means nothing.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, when it's coming out fall 2018, apparently, I'll believe that when I see it.
That's what
I'm saying. If they're not ready for criticism, or just
I'm not saying they're not. I'm talking about us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously they are because they did release it. I'm just saying if people are getting that fucking overt that they're making up those kind of weird defenses, that's odd because there's just not enough there. And Dragon Age, I think we have a name, right? Have we seen even a single bit of like concept art?
No, just new Dragon Age development.
I don't think there's any positives or negatives until we even know who's working on it, what it's going to be about. I mean, there's
any positives and negatives, rather, is what I was going for, is from the previous Dragon Age experiences you've had for both of you. I don't know if Luke, if you played any of the Dragon Age games.
I've tried them. I'm a Witcher guy, so that's like my choice of fantasy, like ultimate fantasy game. That's the series I go with. My girlfriend is obsessed with Dragon Age. Okay. Like, I think she has a problem. Yeah, I think she has a problem with it. But like, they've never really been my thing. But with the teams specifically, the reason why Andromeda imploded wasn't necessarily because they put a C team and those developers sucked or just weren't as good as the developers individually that they had working on Anthem or whatever. Yeah. But the reason it's a C team is because that reflects the priority in terms of the management, in terms of, like, that's how they viewed it. It was C compared to the A that was Anthem. No, that's not even really a pun. It's just the same letter. But like with this, I'd like to think that with the next Dragon Age, they're going to come out, they're going to give it the star treatment. They're going to give it enough time that they can polish it and they don't have an Andromeda. It's a big enough franchise. Now that Mass Effect is on ice, I'd like to think that they're going to promote that and try to make it an incredible game. And I love that. I don't want more bad games. I want more great games. But it comes down to the management and what they're going to devote to it, if they're going to be patient enough to give it time to turn into what it could. We'll just have to wait and see. Like Eric said, it's really, really, really early to cast judgment either which way.
Right now, when you guys are saying Dragon Age 2, it's so early, I'm just seeing the font in my brain. I'm like, Dragon Age 2, okay. Like, I don't know anything to even say about it, because I don't even know a single person working on it yet, or like,
early stages. It's like, yeah,
how early? How did they say when it's coming out?
I mean, that's the thing. It's like EA and BioWare and a lot of these big companies, Ubisoft, they usually rely on that, we'll talk first, you know, we'll say, coming, and then you don't know when you're getting the reveal at that point. So if we're going off of Inquisition, what was that, 2014? It could be ready for a reveal soon, probably next year.
You know what's
year.
Funny, too, is that us, right, we may not, I liked parts of, the fuck was the other Dragon Age called?
Inquisition?
Yeah,
Inquisition.
So I liked parts of Inquisition, but it won a tremendous number of Game of the Year awards. So, like, we're sort of talking in a little confined group where a large majority of people would celebrate Hinterlands again, number two. And I would kill myself if there was a Hinterlands. I've made jokes in Andromeda review about Hinterlands, finally leaving the Hinterlands on your spaceship, because goddamn, that was an MMO. So some people would celebrate it too. Like, I mean, it's going to be really weird to see if Witcher 3 makes an impact, or if it doesn't because they don't feel it needs to. See, a lot of game fans will see a Witcher 3 or see a game that does really well, and they'll be like, every game should be Witcher 3. Well, guess what? No, because if you're done with Witcher 3, you need another game, and it's not Witcher 3. You can't, you know, I've heard people say, I'm not going to buy another game. I've got Witcher 3. I think Maddie and I talked about this, and you're like, that makes, what the fuck? Stop playing games then. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
But it'll be really weird to see what they choose, like what their avenue is. Do they aim for a Witcher 3 because it is so popular and did so well, or do they aim for Inquisition 2, which was really popular and did really well, but isn't necessarily what I want.
Yeah, we were talking about taking inspiration from The Witcher, and I remember making a video on it. The Andromeda was like, we want side quests just like The Witcher 3. That was their exact quote. And I'm like, they were definitely an improvement from Inquisition, but they were not anywhere close to The Witcher 3. So, you know, that just brings up the point of it's a lot of talk. It's a lot of talk.
Is cheap.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, like, okay, you know, we're hearing about the hirings. We're hearing, like, yeah, it's coming, all right. Like, you know, what could their vision be? I know it's a lot of guessing games and speculation. I don't know if that's up your guys' alley. I'd imagine they just go for the next best thing, which is you had Inquisition, which is a lot of big hub areas. I'd imagine they go for an open world approach with the next Dragon Age game.
I don't think they do.
You don't think so?
I personally feel that it'll be a hub again.
Really? I mean, I wouldn't disagree.
I think they like the idea of the castle being the hub and you like going out and doing things. Like, I don't, because an open world, or do you just mean, well, okay, actually, what do you mean? Like an open world where there's just no loading? Is that what you mean by open world? Or do you mean
like what, just keep the Witcher going here.
But
like
Witcher has loading.
World. Yeah, that's fine. Like Fallout 4 open world, Skyrim open world, those have loading too.
So but you're thinking they might go towards just that seamless. I guess we'll call it seamless. Okay.
Yeah, seamless. Something along those lines. I mean,
yeah, it'll be.
That's just my guess. I'll say for a lot of the faults I found with Inquisition, I did like how they approached the combat, where they tried to mix the best of both worlds between the Dragon Age 2 and Origins. I stand in the bunch, is anyone surprised? I stand in the bunch that thinks Origins is the fucking best Dragon Age game, old school BioWare, not really
shocked. Dude, the starting of Origins.
Oh my god. So good. I love it.
So, no game's done anything like that, have they?
No, Origin stories, I mean, Mass Effect 1 and 2, kind of, when you create your character, and like, well, actually more like Mass Effect 1, where you create your character, you give them that, like, brief backstory, and like, when they first approach you, they bring it up and acknowledge it, and it plays a part in the story as time goes on. Kind of like, I think there's a much bigger ripple effect across the entire game in Origin. So when like you're an elf, for example, but I mean, I'm excited, you know, I'll say that much. It's just, I wanted to get your thoughts on a new Dragon Age game in general. I think the time is right for a new Dragon Age game. You know, it's been long enough to miss Dragon Age.
When was that released?
2014.
When was Inquisition?
Fall 2014.
And then, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I want a new Mass Effect. I want him to just do Mass Effect 4.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive him, dude. I'm just like, it's so funny because it hurts my soul. It's like every time we talk about Mass Effect being put on ice and people moving to Inquisition 2 or whatever you're going to call it, I just get sad. Or Jade Empire would be a nice one. But we talked about this a couple podcasts ago. I don't even know if I'd trust him to do. Like now, if you were to announce it, I'm a little bit more tentative. I think that's why I don't have much to say, because I'm a little bit more tentative now towards them as a whole because of Andromeda.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, okay. The excitement.
People always mistake that I just fucking hate BioWare. I'm like, dude, no. They've made my favorite games ever.
Yeah,
easily.
Mine too.
And like,
it's tough love.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's literally, I like them so much. I hate to see how much, in my opinion, they've fallen from grace. So it's like, that shit bothers me.
If your girlfriend was awesome and then starts beating on you, the fuck? Like, that makes, I mean, come on. Sorry, that's an abusive relationship to an extent, but you know what I mean.
No,
like,
I get what you're saying.
If shit changes, then you have to reevaluate.
Absolutely.
And that's what, that's all you're doing. And your hatred for Activision notwithstanding, which is hilarious to me. not in a bad way. It's hilarious. I like
full
watching
on
shit.
Admit it's complete bias.
this, I don't feel you have any hatred. It's where we watched the best games that we grew up with. I mean, that's how you and I even started talking.
Yeah.
No, we started talking about Fallout 4, but then we started talking about games we liked, and it was like each game we were all, holy shit, that's the game I like too. I mean, how many of us are out there? It must be a ton.
Oh, man. It's that wraps up all the news we have. Are there any additional thoughts on Dragon Age hirings?
We'll give it a shot when it comes out.
All right.
But don't have much to say about it.
All right, cool beans. Well,
I'm trying to think if there's any... Same thing. Like, trying to think of anything.
All right, cool. Well, Luke, thank you for joining us. This is an excellent time,
definitely.
Man.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
By the way,
remember...
he's got the same chair I've got.
Really?
I believe,
yeah. We all have DX racers, I think.
Yeah, we
oh,
all
no,
have
I don't have a DX racer, actually.
Similar form factor. Close enough. No, thank you, honestly, for having me. I remember watching the first episode of the Ham Radio podcast way back when. And so to be on it is kind of surreal. So I you know, thank you. That's all I can say.
I'm looking forward to joining your show, or I'm speaking in the past technically now. I had a great time on your show.
Hopefully.
Sold. Right. Yeah, we better have a good time. No, I'm sure it'll be good. Again, youtube.com/LukeyPoo to see Maddie. We're going to be doing that live. So some of my viewers, I'm sure, are going to have some fun questions to answer. But it's going to be a good time. Thank you, Karek, as well.
Yeah, and for sure.
If you would ever like to be on Top Gaming, we would love to have you as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but all the links to Luke's stuff, Karek's stuff as well, in the description. As always, be sure to please check both of them out. They're awesome. And thank you guys for those who stayed this long into the episode. We didn't pick a hashtag.
My dog is throwing up. Hashtag, Karek's dog is dying.
Hashtag dog vomit.
Yeah, we're going to go with dog puke.
No. We should do Andromeda.
It's trending.
It's got to be it's got to be Andromeda stuff. It's got to be something for it's.
Wait, what was it? You did Dragon Age Andromeda.
Dragon Age. Dragon Age.
Oh yeah, I did. Dragon Age Andromeda. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Okay, that works for me, man. All right, cool. So if you listen this far, man, Dragon Age Andromeda is the hashtag. Send it to all the handles you see on screen at Jeremy Penser, Luke Stevens TV, and G27 Status. We're looking forward to seeing just how many of you guys listen this long, and we will catch you in next week's episode. Peace out.